Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Joining me today, Yasmin. How are we doing? How are things?
I'm good. I'm glad we're talking after wins. So
yeah, right? Vibes are so awesome with the Raptors when they're winning games. And this team is so unpredictable. Like, we're down on them because they lose to the Magic and Pistons. But then, hey, they pull off back-to-back dubs against the Suns and Nuggets. I mean, I guess just start there. What were your thoughts on the past few games? There's been a lot of things to kind of touch on, but just a few thoughts that really stood out to you.
I'd say, I guess, following the three-game skid against the Pistons, who else? Cleveland. Yeah. In the absence of Fred VanVleet, just goes to show how important he is and how the Raptors really they're really tight when it comes to their guard rotation. So the other guys weren't able to make up for the spacing and the off-ball attention that Fred garners, and it just made the offense so much harder to produce. So it just stressed how important he is to the team and how he's just a vital piece, I think, more so than any other player on the team. If you take, I feel like, anyone else out, they'll be able to kind of make up for that lack. Like, even in Siakam's absence, they managed to win. In OG's absence, they were managing to win. But in the absence of Fred, it just makes it so difficult. And then, of course, once he's back, I guess it was against the Suns, was it? Mm-hmm. They managed to win a really great game, too. I feel like they were leading most of the night against Phoenix. Following it up with the win against Denver, which is a team that, no matter how shorthanded they are, as long as they have Jokic, they're probably going to beat the Raptors. But they managed to change the narrative in a really, really good win. When people are saying it's one of the best wins of the season. So that was also a great turnout. And in addition to Fred's importance being stressed, I think that the role that Precious Achiuwa is on, since All-Star break, I wrote about he should be up now. Precious is ascending. He's been playing so phenomenally, and he gives the Raptors just that little extra spacing nowadays with his shooting, which is kind of off the charts. I think he's like at 50% since All-Star break from three attempts per game. So that's a pretty significant amount of threes for a guy who's like on the last part of the permanent, you know, rotation that they often play. Like, Precious has just been making good use of every minute that he's given, and we know he brings it on defense. But for him to just, I'd always say, if Precious just had one go-to offensive move or something that he could do, he'd be a really valuable piece for the Raptors. But he's been kind of like a Swiss Army knife. He's been improving on so many aspects of his game. And it's really coming together. So I'm excited to see how it matches up in the upcoming matchups against the Lakers. I feel like that's a good gauge for, you know, his versatility. They have the length to throw at him. So I'm interested to see how that turns out. But yeah, that's been the biggest takeaways, Precious and Fred VanVleet for me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good things have happened over the past few days, just starting with the matchup tonight against the Lakers. So this is the first of two matchups against the Lakers this week. Wow, there's like screeching going on behind me. Sorry, people. That's going to be heard on the podcast. My bad. Can't do much about it. I guess the Lakers are in a way of screeching to a halt on their season because things aren't going very well for them. They're hoping that Anthony Davis comes back at some point and he, you know, finds his magic from, I guess, the bubble, I suppose, but he hasn't been the same for a long, long time. But I looked it up and I was curious about this. And over his last three games against Toronto, LeBron is 0-3. He's averaging 17 points per game on 44% shooting. So not great. Obviously, OG Anunoby is a big factor in that, and he's not going to be playing tonight. But I mean, think of like Scotty and Pascal and Precious, the different bodies that they can kind of throw at him. And they're all kind of similar in a way, right? It's like that 6'8", 6'9", very mobile. And historically, you know, LeBron has struggled a little bit with that. Granted, he's, you know, he's still LeBron. And I saw that he became the first player in NBA history to garner 30,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, and 10,000 assists. That's incredible. What's even more incredible that he's also the first player to score 10,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, and 10,000 assists. So he is like, he's out of this world. I hope he plays for many more years. And I hope that the Lakers actually don't even make the plan, because we can get more years of LeBron, right? At some point, we got to like stop being, you know, LeBron, Raptor killer, yada, yada, yada. Just appreciate the greatness, man. He's sensational.
I'm not quite there yet, but I agree.
No, you're not? No?
Hey, the wounds are still fresh.
He's ruined a lot of teams' hopes and dreams over the years. It's not just the Raptors, although people like to point out just the Raptor ones, but like, I mean, the Atlanta Hawks with like Al Horford and Paul Millsap.
You know,
early time Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The list goes on. He's killed all their dreams, right? So it is what it is. This is what happens when you face a player that is, you know, one of the top one, top two, top three, not getting into that conversation, players of all time.
Yeah.
Anyway, just on the Raptors, I mean, it was kind of cool just seeing the variety of defenses that they're able to show Nikola Jokic, right? He killed them the previous time they faced off. He had 35 points. But with this matchup, I mean, Nick really got experimental, and he showed him all kinds of different looks. And I think that does kind of show the growth in the defense overall and some of the players like a Delano, for instance, because I think earlier on the season, like Nick just couldn't do that because he wasn't confident that they'd get it, you know, that they'd execute it properly. But, you know, to their credit, Precious Achiuwa, Ken Burch, just a similar degree because he's struggled, you know, throughout this season. He said after the game that he probably won't be right all season. He may need like knee surgery of some sort. Kind of sucks for him. And also he talked about, you know, getting some flack online from people. People suck sometimes, man. I don't get it. Like, at some point we got to be able to hold people accountable for their behavior on social. I don't know how we're going to do it, but these are people, you know,
they should do what Boucher did and just start a podcast going right at
them. Exactly, right? Listen to Hustle Play, by the way.
Fair game.
Yeah, right? But anyways, being able to throw this different kind of lineups at these star players is what makes Nick Nurse and the Raptors defense so great. And against Jokic, I mean, I thought about this too. I'm like, why don't they just start fronting him? Like, they don't have the playmakers. Like, Campazzo is great. Okay, but they don't have, you know, Michael Porter Jr. They don't have Jamal Murray. Aaron Gordon was out as well. So like, who's going to make that over the head pass? Like, I don't see guys that are going to do it and just make other people make plays. Like, don't let Jokic get the ball. And they were just like, yeah, let's try that. And you know, that really worked out well for them. So it's a credit to all those guys that were on the floor in that fourth quarter. Wouldn't expect that to be a lineup that would really take over the game, but it was kind of cool to see it, right? Like, we've been waiting for a bench lineup that would kind of work. And, you know, a person like Thad Young, I was so excited when he became a Raptor because he could do stuff like this. He had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals and a block. Like, that is such a Thad Young line. Yeah. That is the most Thad Young line ever. He only played like, you know, 14 minutes or whatever it was. But he's a high impact player and they're finding their groove a little bit. And it was cool seeing a Delano Banton, who we're going to talk about in a second here. But he had 5 assists in that fourth quarter, right? He really showed some poise with the ball. And over the season, he's probably been a little bit up and down in the sense where he's just, you know, turning the ball over, obviously, you know, part of being a rookie, but it's been a bit up and down for him because he's just trying to learn so much on the fly here.
Yeah.
But he has some composure, and Chris Boucher hit some mid-range shots. Don't really see that from Chris very often, hitting mid-range shots, but he did it, right? He did it, and maybe that's going to be a spot where he's able to get some more offense going because the three-point shot's been a little bit up and down, and obviously he's a good offensive rebounder, but getting some more offense from someone else on the bench is going to be vital to their success this season. So, I mean, let's start off with Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes, right? So in that game against the Nuggets, they assisted on 3 of each other's baskets, and you could really see that two-man game going. And after the game, Pascal was asked about it. He was actually in rare form after that Nuggets game. He was all laughs and just making jokes nonstop. He was making fun of, you know, the media again. And he's like, oh, you guys aren't showing your faces again. It was just voiceover radio here. And he was having fun. Anyways, Yeah, there's a really cool two-man game happening between them. They're really feeding off of each other on both ends of the court. What are you seeing from those two?
It's about as good of a outcome you could hope for when you draft a player like Scotty. Because I feel like the question early in the season was, can he play with Pascal? Because, despite there's questions about whether Pascal can be like the very best player on a championship team. And obviously, no one knows until you actually get to that point. It could be no, it could be yes, who knows. You don't want to have to trade a talent like that in order to accommodate a rookie. There's just too much risk involved in it. So the Raptors ended up with the best outcome possible, which is them being able to feed off of each other and benefit each other when they're on the court together. So that's just been the best outcome for them, because you have two players who can pretty much do a little bit of everything and who are both above average playmakers. So they're able to kind of improvise in the moment with, I really enjoy how, someone will cut or someone will just be open at the exact right moment for the dump off pass. And they kind of just know, I guess they put each other in one another's shoes. So they know what pass to anticipate. And it just always works out. I feel like you can probably make a good compilation off of the assists that they've shared throughout the season so far. It kind of just put to rest whether these two should be separated, but instead now it's like, how can we build, the best possible squad around such a great core? So I think it's awesome for Scotty that he's, playing alongside someone with very similar set of skills who is in their prime. So it kind of just gives him a great idea of the work ethic behind it. And, for Pascal, we know what he came from. He wasn't the number four pick. He kind of worked his skill set from the ground up. So it's great for guys like Scotty to see who have a higher, baseline of talent, get to see the off season regimen. They're going to be probably in California together, like the team tends to do, and do their runs with Rico Hines. So it's a great arrangement, not just for Scotty, but also for Precious Achiuwa to see as well. And I kind of sometimes wonder how much of everyone's improvement is kind of tied to being on a young team of people who are all, I feel like, simultaneously trying to improve. Like there's no the Raptors don't really use their end of bench spots for veterans. Like the only one really on the team who's up there in age is Thaddeus Young, and he's playing notable minutes. So it's a great dynamic to have. And it kind of just is, you really, really see it in Scotty and Pascal. So I'm interested to see how they look in year two. Like this is year one where they're still kind of getting to know each other and their, their likes, dislikes on the court and everything. So, Scotty's, I think, improved even from the beginning of the season. Like we see the recent push he's had since All-Star break. And his offense has been absolutely insane. So just when I thought, okay, so this is rookie Scotty, it's like, no, he's making another, I thought he was kind of out of the rookie of the year conversation with how Mobley and Cade have been playing. But this 10 game stretch from him, it puts him right back in there. Like he's been phenomenal, not just by rookie standards. He's just been a great solid player guarding the opposition's best offensive players too in the absence of OG. It's a great arrangement. It's the best possible outcome, and we haven't even seen, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg, really.
Must be tricky for Scotty, because he said earlier on the season that he wanted to be rookie of the year, and some people didn't like that he said that, because it's all about the team. But you're right, those other guys, Cade and Evan Mobley, they're sort of running away with it to a degree, because they have different roles on the offense, right? But now
higher usage,
And Scotty, he just doesn't have that responsibilities necessarily. He has a lot of responsibilities on the Raptors, but scoring in isolation isn't really one. And it seems like they're kind of discovering more of that because of injuries, obviously, and that he's been given that opportunity to take more shots and to just bully ball people, right? To make it, take advantage of your size. And there's so many mismatches on the court for the Raptors. And after the game, again, with Pascal, he kind of talked about this, saying that, one of us always has the mismatch, right? And you add an OG to that, and again, one of those three always has a mismatch. And it's just about, how can we work off of each other? And it's kind of cool just seeing, like, they always make sure that they're on kind of on opposite ends of the court, or like, you know, and because of that, like they're able to work off of each other, and they're both willing cutters, willing passers. They're doing a really nice job of kind of relocating on the court too, that when, you know, Pascal's in the paint and he's kind of making his move, he knows Scotty's like taking those like couple inches to the right or left to create a passing angle. And
yeah,
3-point shot for Scotty is a bit up and down. That's okay. It's going to probably stabilize itself. Pascal's been pretty consistent there, but I mean, just with them too, like Jimmy Butler talked about this earlier on in the season, that, you know, between Kyle, myself, and Bam, like we're such smart players and we're both unselfish on the court. Like you kind of just figure it out over the course of time. Like you just, because you want to figure it out and you want to see each other do well. And right. So you're less worried about, you know, who's this, who's that, where am I getting my shots? You're just like, let's just make this happen, because we both have so many skills to utilize on the court. And eventually, you know, we're going to get it right.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I think a lot of that for the Raptors older players in Fred, in Pascal, it comes from the fact that they have already won at the highest level, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So I think that the urgency to like eat up usage, and because they could do it, they can make their all NBA cases and focus on that. But I feel like the fact that they won so recently, and they won on a team where roles were so delegated, where people had to take on a lower usage roles in order to win at the highest level, because, you know, you think of how vital every person on the rotation was to moments that pushed them towards the actual ring. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, you think about Fred VanVleet's run during the Bucks series, they wouldn't have ended up heading to the finals if that wasn't the, you know, the case for them. So I feel like, I guess they understand how important every single person is into making a winning team, a winning organization. And you see how other young teams struggle to make that kind of connection when they're sure. in rebuilding mode. But I guess, you know, that also helps the Raptors bypass the road of rebuild, I feel like, because, you know, they don't really have to build that winning culture from scratch. They have a really good foundation in their core. They're bypassing a huge part of what makes the rebuild so unwatchable.
Yeah, there's like that commitment to just, you know, let's make each other better, let's continue to improve. Not to keep on, you know, talking about hustle play, but on the episode, Delano Banton and Chris Boucher talked about this, that, you know, with the Raptors schedule, like their personal team schedule, there's optional practices and optional shootarounds, and it's like optional, but really, unless you see black and on their calendar, he's like, you are expected to be there. And if you're not there, like, you're going to hear from someone. And that's kind of the nature of it. And Delano's like, I haven't had a day off in like months. Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about with days off. Like, cause we were asking him like, what do you do on days off? He's like, I don't have days off, man. Like, I'm either at the 905, I'm at Scotiabank Arena for a game, or I'm expected to be on the court practicing in some capacity. And this is like the nature of this franchise right now. And I mean, I think all of us, we were like ridiculing the franchise for not really doing anything at the deadline. Like, go get a guard. You clearly need a guard. Like,
yeah,
they don't need us to tell them that they need a guard. They know they need a guard, but it is not the plan. That's not part of the plan for this season. They want Precious Achiuwa and Delano Banton to be taking those shots, because it's going to help them next year, the year after, and get those reps in. And then they're going to be that much better. It's annoying because we see it, the potential of this year's team. We just want to see them like go grow, like, you know, win a few playoff rounds. They're like, no, we'd rather, you know, conserve our chips, I suppose. And let's look at next season, the year after, and let's like actually like contend for a championship. It's not like let's win a round or two. It's let's compete for a championship. And next season, with the development that some of these players are getting, like, they're going to be in a much better position to, you know, be vital members of off their bench, right? Or Delano, a Precious, like we're going to talk about in a second.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. When you kind of invest time into guys like Precious, like Delano, it's a gamble, but you know that if you can quite easily make them valuable contracts, because they already have like the defense and the.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Build, you know, everyone wants a player of their length and their mobility. So if you just put a little extra time into developing their offense, you can turn these guys into valuable contracts. And the Raptors need those. So yeah. I feel like if you trade for a guy who's a little more established, there's less questions about his value on the market. And people literally keep an eye, like scouts, organizations keep an eye on who the Raptors are developing. Like they keep an eye on who can we take from this org. This is like a farm organization for the rest of the league. We know this, you know. Yeah. So there's no questions about how, you know, can these guys become valuable contracts? They're going to eventually become, because that is outside of fanfare. You know, if the Raptors want to trade OG right now, they could get a huge haul for him, not based on how well he's known around, you know, other circles and everything. But when it comes to turning second round guys, undrafted guys, low first round guys into valuable contracts in the future, that's something that they've perfected. So like you said, the obvious decision would be to get this guy and then make me a 50 plus win team and you know, have a chance in the postseason and blah blah blah. But they're obviously choosing to take the more unconventional route and hopefully turn these guys into pieces that they can move around for the future and do and eventually make that push, because they did the same thing when they rearranged things and traded Jonas Valanciunas and stuff like that. So, you know, who's to say what happens in the future?
I do believe that for the 10th of the last 11th season, the Raptors have exceeded the preseason projection for their win total. I think that happened with that Nuggets win. For some reason, this Vegas,
this season?
They just don't. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
The projection was 36, and now they're at 37. I know. I mean, it's just easy money right there.
I should have right? Every year.
Yeah. You a gambler? Is that something you're interested in doing?
No, I know nothing about it. But that seems like the safest one to get started on.
I gamble quite a bit. That's my thing. I like doing that. I'm excited it's being legalized in Canada very soon. It's going to make things a little bit easier. But everything you said is absolutely right. And I just want to see them continue to take these steps. A person like Precious Achiuwa, that I know you just wrote your piece on. What were your thoughts on him this season? He's been up and down. I mean, all those times where I've seen like Pascal or Scotty kind of drop their head because like, oh, there goes Precious again, going one-on-one or something like that. But then he doesn't take the shot that he should take. And it's not always about right? Like knowing where your spot is and on the court and just being the person that just make things simpler on yourself, right? Doc Rivers is really good at this. His coaching prowess, you know, in clutch situations is, you know, a bit suspect sometimes, but he does a great job of giving players roles and saying, this is what I need you to do. And that's all you do, nothing else. So whether it's like catch and shoot threes or just, you know, making that one dribble so you can hit a pull up after you get a heavy contest, like these are the things we want you to do. And Precious, he's kind of figuring that out a little bit.
Yeah. I think that his recent developments showed why they gave him so much of a longer leash. Like I always wondered, why is Precious, you know, allowed to dribble so much and throw all these crazy shots and stuff. But it's clear that they were trying to, you know, unlock something in him. And, you know, what's interesting is that you can't really teach that kind of confidence he has to just play a determined, you know, just a determined drive and stuff like that. It's something that you have to really build in some players, but he just has that confidence already instilled. Like he's always willing to take the shot. So when he, I think, received the green light to take more threes, it just kind of like, took him to the next level. Cause like, I feel like it's weird to pigeonhole a player into a non-shooter in his sophomore season. It's just weird. Cause he can't shoot in his rookie year. He's not going to be able to in his second year. Like did he get enough minutes and reps on the Heat squad? Like that didn't really play him too many minutes. Like
You're saying it.
Yeah. So on a team where he's given that leeway, like, I remember writing the piece and being kind of reluctant to call him like, is he a shooter? Like, I don't know, like this, we were recently having a conversation, like when do you determine someone's a shooter? And then someone's like, when they become a shooter, like that's, you just have to kind of become one. And then people stop asking if you are one, and they start respecting you on scouting reports and whatnot. So I think that he's just seizing every opportunity, and he's not afraid to fail, which is like such a important trait in a developing player. Like he's not afraid to throw up a crazy circus shot after dribbling for 23 seconds. I think it's part of it's been a huge part of his development to have that confidence, and not every guy has it. It's always easy to forget that he's a sophomore player, he's in his second year, and he's on a great trajectory. Like he's, you know, about as good as you'd hope for his draft positioning and everything so far.
He's got a bit of that Nick Young in him, right? The next one's going to go in.
Yeah.
I swear, coach, I swear I'm going to get it hot right here. You're going to see it. Yeah. You're going to see it. And that's a Suns game, I believe. And if I'm a good lip reader, I don't know if I am, but I believe he looked at JaVale McGee like almost right directly in the eye and said, "You can't guard me." It was a possession where Precious drove he drove from the 3-point line. He faked and then he drove to the bucket. And he looked at JaVale McGee. He's like, "Yeah, you can't guard me." You can't teach that confidence. Like you said, it's a rare thing. And now with him, he's got this jumper and it's going to open up so much for the Raptors offense. And you kind of see it in little bits here and there, like a Gary Trent Jr. You know, when Gary's in the pick and roll, now people are like loading up on him because they just don't want him to shoot. Like I bet on Gary.
Floor kind of shades towards him.
Right. Like I talked about my betting habits. I thought Gary would make three threes against the Nuggets, and he was like one of five or something like that because they were all over him. But if Gary is able to develop, make that pocket pass to Precious Achiuwa rolling, or if he's going to be, you know, a pick and pop big, he can hit that catch and shoot three. What's this going to open up for like a Scotty or a Pascal? They just needed that guy. You know, that's why we were all talking like, oh, let's get Miles Turner, because, and I'm not sure if you wanted Miles Turner, but we wanted that five to who could hit threes. And it's just such an asset. It's going to open up the court. And this is what the Raptors really need. They just need space. That's why Nick said he started Amani Brooks against the Nuggets, because he's like, I need to give Pascal and Scotty just some space.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, right? No one really saw that coming. But, I mean, to Amani's credit, and he played pretty well against the Nuggets, right?
Yo, well-deserved,
Yeah, that was awesome. He shot 30% from three a few years back in Houston, and who knows what happens with this 10-day. But, hey, at least he made $85,000. That's not bad. That's more than I make in a year. Anyway,
you ever see that on like the two-way guys? And you're just like, oh, they're so underpaid. Wait, twice what I made.
Yeah, invest your money. You can be a 10-day guy for a few years in the NBA, and you're going to be in good shape. Yeah,
early retirement.
Yeah, go to Europe. You know, live in Spain or whatever, and you're going to be in a good spot for the rest of your life. Your family's going to be in good shape. But Armani, yeah, he did a pretty good job. And he's 6'3", too. He can kind of see how he fits with the Raptors. Like, he's really tenacious on the defensive end. And he's got some, he had a shot from a handoff from Thad Young, which was really nice. And he's got some nice instincts there. So another person that they could potentially add into the system. But what were we talking about? Yeah, right, spacing and Precious. Just continue to grow, man. And like after that, after he's able to become like a shooter, when is he a shooter? Is he a shooter? Because sustained success is what you're looking for when it comes to if a person is a shooter or not. But if he's able to, like, you know, be that catch shoot guy, and then afterwards, if he's able to like just get to the rim in those situations where he's been loaded up on a little bit, or there's a heavy contest coming at him, just like get those couple of dribbles going to the bucket and become that person. And if you need to make that little dump off pass to someone around the rim, like now you have like a really, really versatile big man, center, forward guy that is going to help you in all lineups that you need. And it's going to get Precious all kinds of paid. All kinds of paid. Holy.
He's set. If he gains, if he becomes even like an above out, like a 37% guy, he's set. He's going to get paid for until retirement.
Yeah. Very versatile. Wanted to finish up by getting your thoughts on the Delano Banton, Malachi Flynn scenario. It's a good problem to have, two players that feel like you could really help your franchise for years to come, but it's gotten a little bit murky at times. And for the contracts, Delano, he's got a team option for next season, and then Malachi Flynn has a team option for 2023-2024, so both conceivably could be under contract for at least next season, and then after that you make your choice on Malachi. But Do they need to choose between them, or do you think that they should either A, trade one of them, or B, you know, decide who's going to be your backup point guard?
You know, because the guard rotation is so thin, I can see them keeping both, honestly, paying both and just retaining both. Splitting their minutes between two guys probably also helps keep their value down so that they're affordable for the Raptors in the future. Which is like, it's kind of slimy, but you know, it's business. But
then be the breaks.
I would keep Delano if that was the scenario, because I feel like a true point guard, like he's a real point guard. He's not a forward that can just kind of pass, but he's a true point guard. He's pass first. All at his height, his mobility, his defense. I feel like he just has too many physical skills. And that the offensive discrepancy between him and Malachi isn't too huge. I think Malachi, he's probably somebody who can develop into a shooter quicker because he already has that established. And he's really good in the pick and roll, but, you know, Delano's not bad in it either. So, you know, if it came down to between those two, I can see them opting to keep Delano. But I don't see why they can't just keep both. And honestly, splitting their minutes and just taking what you need in that rotation and just kind of diagnosing it with either Flynn or Delano has been working so far this season. I feel like whenever you throw one of those guys into the game, something happens, something shifts for the better usually. So I don't know if they would, you know, change the scenario dynamic they've already established with both of them.
Yeah, and it's a really tricky thing. It's a great problem to have, like I said, that you have two players who are like 22 years old. I believe they're both 22, who are assets to you and could potentially, you know, you could tell that you could see it. It's percolating that they're both going to be very good NBA players. I wonder with Delano if they start to develop him as a shooting guard, and that would obviously require him to, you know, become a competent three-point shooter. But they decide to do that, because I can just hear Masai like, oh, do I need to make a decision between these two? Do I really? Like, I have two good players. Why do I need to trade one of them? And I mean, Delano, like, you can just see like how versatile he is. Like you talked about, I mean, he was like the person fronting Nikola Jokic in the Denver game. Like he's 6'9".
1-5.
Yeah, exactly. So if you just add him into that fold, like this is another guy that I could play at the three or the two or the four if I need to. And now you have this guy who's just like, who can run the floor. He's a great cutter. He can be a secondary ball handler on the court. You just need him to develop his 3-point shot. And this year, so 2022, he's 6 of 24. Not great, obviously, but if you want to bank on just him developing that over the course of the offseason, you give him a shooting program and he executes it, like that would be an awesome thing to have. And now, again, you just have another guy who's fitting this mold, and he doesn't need to be a point guard, but he can be. And Malachi, he probably is, you know, better suited to be a point guard just between the two of them. I mean, who knows what Delano does during the offseason, but Malachi right now, he is a point guard. You can rely on him. He's a great pick and roll point guard. You have players now, especially with a Thad Young, if you want to bring him back. You have guys he can actually use in those situations. And you have a great bench now. You have something that can actually, you know, create offense, sustainable offense, you know, possession by possession. And it's going to help, you know, Fred VanVleet go down the list. It's going to help all these guys just play less minutes. And that's been a problem for this whole season. That's kind of where I want to see this go. I don't want to see them trade at either of them. I want to see them, you know, use them and make Delano, you know, he's going to be a sophomore next year. Like he's got many more years to come to be like a point guard. If that's who he wants to be. I'm sure it does, because that's what he's been his entire life, but it's not going to take away from the money that he's going to make in the NBA. If he decides to be like, just master the art of being like a 2 and a 3 and a 4. And that is what Nick asked of them anyways. That talked about it when he became a Raptor. He's like, it's kind of interesting that I have to learn how to be a 3 and a 5 and a 4. So that's been a bit of a transition. That's what you're asked to do with the Raptors, right? And Delano just has to take on that challenge. And if he's able to become a decent catch and shoot 3-point shooter, like now you do have a shooting guard. You have another guy. Like I see the vision. It'd be really cool.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably where his value lies, in just being super versatile. Like if he's able to become like any team can take him and plug him into wherever they need. There's a lot of value in that. Even if he's not excelling in every department, just having a guy that you can throw, like I feel like that's like a 6-man of the year type, that archetype that he could follow.
Mm-hmm. And it's very current in this NBA to be that player who can be plugged at the 2 to 4, right? It's like we talked about, it's going to help his value when it comes to contract time. And if the Raptors can't afford him, that's okay, because you've done your part for his development. And
he'll have always options. Yeah.
And I always love when Nick Nurse talks about his job as a coach is to raise the value of each player in the marketplace. It's such a cool thing to hear. It's like, you know that the coaching staff and the franchise cares about your development, and this would actually help Delano bring all kinds of money home to Rexdale, and they're going to be in a really good spot. All his family, all his friends, everyone's going to get paid in that way, because obviously he's been very helpful with helping out his community. He's got a foundation, right? The Delano Banton Skills Academy. Yeah. So he's helping out other players and future Raptors, future Canadian basketball prospects. It's all good. I was a person that thought they should probably maybe trade Malachi Flynn at the deadline, just because don't do Malachi like this. Like, let him grow, let him develop. Yeah, right. But I mean, to his credit, he got an opportunity, he ran with it, and he only had like one turnover over like a 6-game span. He doesn't turn the ball over. I love
Malachi. He's a point guard. I was writing when he was freshly drafted, and he was people were saying that he was the best pick and roll player in his draft class. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, everyone was saying that this is the guy who, you know, he is a pure point guard, and he was defensive player of the year in his division. So I think the only downside was his height. And, you know, if he gains the muscle and the strength to play bigger than he is, like Fred does, like Kyle did, who's to say, you know, who's to say what happens with him? Like, I feel like the height is not something, even though the Raptors are like exclusively a 6'7" plus club, height hasn't been an issue with their point guards. I don't think they care when it comes to height with their point guards. So yeah, he has a good line of guys to follow of 6-foot, you know, defensive anchors, really.
It's true. We don't really know how that season with Kyle and Fred has impacted him, because he didn't really play that much this season, right? But I imagine like there was a lot of sessions in that Tampa season where he was with them, working with them. There's a photo from New York when you see both of them kind of like working with Malachi. It was one of the most heartwarming moments, I must say, from that time. Yeah, but it was a cool moment. And I'm sure Eric Flynn is just, you know, at the top of his lungs saying, my boy is great. My boy is good. My boy is going to make things happen in the NBA. You just watch. Lots of prospects in the Raptor system, man. Holy, it's like never ending, it feels like. And even Armani Books, we just talked about him, like a 6'3 point guard, another guy who could play point guard or shooting guard. You see how he could potentially help them. I would like to see Justin Champagne get another shot with the Raptors, but that may not be in the cards, because once OG comes back, that's another guy who's going to be playing, you know, 35 minutes. So the opportunity is gone. And OG's supposed to play at some point on this road trip. We're not too far away from it ending, thankfully, actually. The Raptors, they had a lot of games this week, so everyone knows. But another person. Vibes are great again. Isn't that fun? Any other thoughts, Yasmin? Anything else you want to talk about?
Not really. I think we discussed everything. I will say that the next week of games we were just discussing is crazy. So yeah. I remember just thinking recently, what I would do to see Scotty play LeBron. Like, I feel like Scotty's from a class of draftees, and you know, we're gonna see more of it in the future, that were kind of like trained in the mold of LeBron. You know, these giant forwards that can also play point. So I can't wait to see what it looks like against one another. And yeah, I can't wait to see how it looks in Toronto.
No doubt. From Monday the 14th being today to Monday the 21st, 5 games. Same thing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They got the Clippers tonight. They got the 76ers and they got the Nuggets. That's their Monday to Friday. That is not easy. And then actually on the 24th, the Raptors and Cavaliers play each other. And that is shaping up to be a game that could really, you know, really kind of figure out who's going to be in that sixth spot. It's going to be really interesting. I feel bad for the Cavs, man. Like, they can tell that they're a very good team, but they just can't stay healthy. What do you do, right?
Yeah, it's tough for them, especially they had that really hot start as well and just never let up until the injuries got too much to make up for.
It's true. And Raptors, you know, you take care of business against the very, very crappy LA Lakers. That's two of your games this week. You're able to win a game against the Clippers. They're the ninth seed or the eighth seed in the Western Conference. Maybe you have a 5-game win streak. That probably puts you in a position not just to be sixth, but maybe you're like, you know, scratching at the claws of the Chicago Bulls or the Boston Celtics for fourth or fifth, depending how their week goes. So
Yep. It's
a very, very tight conference. Yasmin, you wrote a piece about Precious Achiuwa. You can find that on the Yahoo Sports Canada Twitter page, or obviously Yasmin's Carmelo Drama on Twitter. And you can find me at @Amit_man. Yasmin, thanks so much for joining me.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, everyone have a great week. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the games. We'll talk soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.